The Sports Gambling Podcast is brought to you today by Amazon. Amazon, your lead pipe lock for online retail. Log on to sportsgamblingpodcast.com and click the Amazon link to support the podcast. Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I am Sean, stacking the money green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. Ryan, what's your take on the NBA trade deadline?
So, not a good sign for the league when you log into ESPN.com the night of the trade deadline and J.J. Redick is the picture they show. So, I don't know, biggest guy that got traded was a white guy.
Yeah, that's never exciting for the National Basketball Association.
I think the biggest winner is probably the Rockets, right? They picked up Thomas Robinson, who, for those of you who don't watch college, he was kind of a beast down at Kansas for the last couple of years. And the fifth overall pick in Sacramento just gave him away because they're
going to Seattle,
cutting salary or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like Sacramento is priming themselves to become the Seattle Supersonics, so I guess you want to dump salary and just completely start from the beginning. I still don't understand that move on any sort of level, but yeah, I guess Milwaukee Bucks, that was a nice pickup. I feel like J.J. Redick, getting him, a nice guy who can get hot shooting, might help out their offense a little bit.
Yeah, Milwaukee's going to be, although, I mean, they're going to get in the playoffs, but they're going to most likely lose to one of the top teams in the East, I would think.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, the East is still really up for grabs, although the Miami Heat have just been on fire, ATS especially as well, against the spread, and just, I know they've covered at least the last two nights, and I feel like they've just been playing really strong coming out of the All-Star break. And even leading up to the All-Star break, they had a nice little run there.
Yeah, LeBron's dominating right now, and I think it's safe to say that it's their conference to lose.
Yeah, I mean,
would you agree?
Yeah, I don't. Who is even on par with them in the East, let alone a step above? I don't think there's any team. It's pretty safe to say it's the Heat's conference to lose. But then, in a way, that kind of makes it exciting because who is going to play the Heat in the Eastern Conference title? You got maybe the Knicks, maybe I don't know, maybe the Celtics, Bucks. Who do you? That's a good question, Ryan. Who do you see matching up with the Heat in the Eastern Conference title?
Well, before I look, I mean, I would guess right now Indiana. I think Indiana is one of those. They still lack that closer, that playoff, like, ISO guy. But
yeah, they gave the Heat a good run last year, right? They won two games out of the series.
Yeah, but to give you an idea of how skewed it is, if you pull up to win the Eastern Conference, Miami Heat are currently -260. Pacers are the second favorite at +750, and then the Bulls and Knicks are +1,000, and the Celtics are +1,500.
Yeah, out of those, honestly, I would say my take, if you're looking for a dark horse outside candidate, would maybe say take the Celtics, right? Just
no,
because of their experience?
Maybe. I just don't think they can.
Yeah, well, I don't think anyone's going to win besides the Heat, but I'm just saying.
I think the Knicks and Indiana have a shot, and Chicago if Rose comes back, but now,
it doesn't seem like they want Rose coming back. It seems like they want him to just sit out the entire season.
Well, I'm not sure if they feel that way or if it's Rose. Did you see the comments by Reggie Rose, his brother, Derrick Rose's brother?
No, what did he say?
Kind of pissed off at the franchise for not making any moves at the trade deadline. Also pointing out that he wasn't happy with the way Chicago misled their fans and, you know, kind of made it seem like Derrick Rose was going to come back and they were going to compete. When in reality, it sounds like all along Derrick Rose has been under the impression or kind of had the plan that he would most likely sit the season out.
Yeah, well, that's not going to help ticket sales or season ticket sales if you say, hey, I'm probably going to sit this one out.
And that's what Reggie...
well, but then again, as a competitor, you never want to say that. You never want to concede the season, so you want to kind of hold out hope. And maybe if they were... Although they're playing pretty good, I feel like, without him.
Yeah, they're competing. It's definitely the Pacers' division to lose at this point. But I think the Pacers and the Knicks both have the ability to compete with the Heat. I'm just not sure they can do it in a 7-game series.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the NBA, right? 7-game series, best team wins. I don't see the Heat losing 4 games to any team.
Well, so, yeah, so speaking of basketball.
Sure.
Some guarantees came out recently.
Oh, yeah?
Kobe Bryant guarantees the Lakers will make the playoffs.
Oh, wow. So he's on the opposite side of your prop bet, Ryan. Well, how do you feel with that?
Well, the news came out today that Nash, D'Antoni, and Dwight Howard all support Kobe in his claims that they will make the playoffs.
Meta World Peace is still on the fence.
Yeah, no comment for Meta World Peace.
Antoine Jameson's just...
Well, yeah, so I bet it, I believe it was minus 130 or minus 140. It's currently minus 150 that the Lakers will miss the playoffs. And John Hollinger of ESPN, he's got them at a 34% chance to make the playoffs. So that would imply closer to minus 190.
So what do you think's driving this price the other way? Just people holding out hope that, hey, it's the Lakers and that they have so much talent that they'll eventually just have to figure it out?
I think it's LA fans continuing to buy the Lakers to Lakers futures. I think people are still betting Laker exotics at this point.
Yeah, I'm kicking myself. They played the Celtics, and I was like, oh, 7 points, this is the lock. And then as soon as I put the bet in, I was like, oh, shit, I totally forgot about Jerry Buss's death. Did not factor that into the line at all.
Jerry Buss's death, the Celtics were on the second night of a back-to-back coming from Denver.
Yeah.
And God, did they look old. They made the Lakers look young.
Yeah, but I mean, seven points is a lot, and I feel like if they would have kept their starters in, they would have had a chance to cover that late.
Yeah, I mean, they made a move. They picked up Jordan Crawford, who, if you don't know who that is, like many people who don't follow the NBA very closely, you might remember him from the Xavier Kansas State game, college basketball 2 or 3 years ago when Gus Johnson lost his brain and went to double overtime. They were hitting shots from all over. If you ever want to spend 5 enjoyable minutes, just look on YouTube for the Kansas State Xavier Gus Johnson. Just Google that, and you'll see the video clip. And it might be one of the greatest basketball game announcement jobs ever.
Yeah, Gus Johnson. Now, is he not going to be calling any March Madness games?
No, he works for Fox full time.
That's just a crime against sports.
Yeah, but you know what kills me is it seems like it's his choice.
Really?
It sounds like he could be doing more, but he wanted to spend more time. I guess he got his wife divorced him, and he didn't get to see his kid a lot. So, you know, basically before, he was the Knicks play-by-play guy. He was working full-time for CBS, doing football and pro football and college basketball, and he worked for the Big Ten Network.
Yeah.
So he was quite busy. Now, he's pretty much the play-by-play guy for Fox College Football, and I think he did maybe a couple couple pro football games this year.
Yeah, I feel like he's on the fifth crew, or so. He's in a deep crew. He's not one of the leaders.
I heard an interview with him, and it made it seem like he's making almost as much money now as he was before doing all those jobs.
Oh, nice. Well, I think being
the A crew helps, I think. I think Fox is really trying to make a push for college football.
Yeah.
So.
No, that'd be good. I mean, it's just funny picturing him in the divorce, him going crazy. Like, do you think there's any sort of emotional testimony in the divorce court? Yo, you can't do that to me! Oh my God, my child! I'm losing visitation rights! No! At the buzzer!
No, it's...
He's a great. I would love to hear
Gus Johnson in the passion of the moment say, bitch. You know?
Bitch, please! I'm taking my money and going downtown! You can't stop me! You can only hope to contain me!
Yeah,
that's not a Gus Johnson.
He's also, for those of you who play Madden, he's been the voice of Madden for, I don't know if you did this past year, but the previous couple of years.
Popular Madden voice. All right, Ryan, so what else is popping off in the Western Conference? Take a look over there.
All right.
I mean, since we're talking Lakers, may as well touch on the Western Conference here.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's at least a more competitive... Well, it's weird, because I feel like it's less competitive overall, but it's more... There's more teams that have a shot to win it.
I was kicking myself last night. It felt like...
That Spurs game was a lock.
That was too easy. And I was just like, Spurs money line, plus 155. Why do I not bet the house on this? And I just talked myself out of it because the Clippers have looked good at home. But I was just like, it was just a really good play. You had the Clippers coming off the rest of the All-Star game. The problem is, you never know if Popovich is going to rest some starters. I mean, they were coming off tonight, their third game in a row against Golden State. They're only laying 3.5 or 2.5. So it's almost a pick 'em there. But obviously, San Antonio's a much better team. But there's a good chance that either because of wanting to preserve their energy, wanting to avoid injury, he might not go the full squad, the full 48.
I'm going to tell you. So I'm looking at the future odds. OKC plus 180. San Antonio plus 240, Clippers plus 350.
To win the West?
Yeah. And then that's kind of where the cliff happens. Fourth best odds to win the West? Los Angeles Lakers, 8-1. That's crazy. That just shows you how much people are putting this... Well, if they make the playoffs, they're going to be a dangerous team. I mean, I can't tell you how many times the Lakers have said
them,
that to me.
I can't picture them winning a series. What out of the 1, 2, or 3... So, okay, if they get in, they're going to be a 7 or 8 seed. So, which one of these top 1 or 2 teams do you think they can knock off in the first round?
Here's what I will say. They could beat the Spurs.
You think they could beat the Spurs?
The way you beat the Spurs is with big men, inside presence.
Yeah, but I feel like they don't use Dwight Howard enough to play him like a true big man.
Here's what I'll take from that, and I'm sure I'm repeating what every retarded sports person has said. Dwight Howard looked healthy in that last game.
He did. And, he looked like he cared.
As a Dwight
Howard apologist.
As a very big Dwight Howard fan, I got to be honest, I got a little excited watching him. So I was like, oh no, he looks healthy. I don't know. I feel like the money, the bet here is San Antonio. I just said it. The way you beat San Antonio is you slow the game down and you pound him inside. OKC can't really do that this year. Ibaka's not really having a good season. The Clippers certainly can't do that. DeAndre Jordan and Blake Griffin are jokes. I mean, Blake Griffin's a great player, don't get me wrong, but the fact that they don't have a big man that can shoot a 15-foot jumper, I mean...
He looks so nervous taking the shot.
He shoots on the way down. It's crazy. I don't think they should have made that. I don't think they should have traded for Garnett. I don't think it made him much better like everyone else seemed to think. But at least Garnett has that, like, he's money from 20 feet, 20 feet and in, he's a knockdown jumper.
Me and Kevin Garnett had the same game.
Yeah.
We just post up by the elbow, take our shots, feisty attitude.
I think he's got a little more range than you.
he does. He is a better version of me. That's what most announcers see him as. Better Sean Green pickup basketball. Yeah, I say, even if you like a team like the Clippers plus 350... Isn't there more value in just betting them each series?
Yeah, I mean, like is often said, unless you're getting, I mean, really it only applies to sports with buys, but unless you're going to get one of those teams that is not going to play a game and then be heavy favorites, in football it works. It kind of works in college basketball. There was a lot of talk about how the move with college basketball futures is to find a team that you think could be a 1 or 2 seed before they make that step. And actually, funny story, 6 Degrees of Sports Gambling Podcast, the Las Vegas Hotel Contest, obviously we do not live in Las Vegas. We have, we hire someone to submit our picks.
Which, quick side note. Now, this is all completely legal.
Completely legal. In fact, when you sign up together, you specify he is your proxy. So basically, you get an ID card when you sign up.
Yeah.
And you can only make picks if you show up with that ID card. So the way it works is I sign up and I identify him as my proxy.
Yeah. So, all right. But that's illegal, or that's legal. But if I was to make these picks over online or through a telephone, that would be illegal because you'd be sports gambling.
Yes, right? Because what's illegal is the money, you know, essentially the money crossing state lines or whatever.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's hilarious, the delineation.
It's just like if I'm in Vegas and you call me and I put a bet down, there's nothing illegal about that.
Isn't there?
No.
I thought that was illegal. Then why...
I'm proxying a bet for you.
Yeah, but then why couldn't I just send that information over an online source? Like, basically, why can't...
How would the money get there?
Okay, so...
I mean, that's the whole gray area with some of the offshore gambling sites. It's ridiculous. And if you look at the law on gambling in most states, it really is very, very gray about the action of placing a bet. Most of the laws are written around taking the bets.
All right, quick little sidebar there.
So, yeah, so our proxy, he's a big numbers guy. If you listen to the pregame podcast at all, you definitely, I believe he's Wednesday nights during football season. I don't know what he does during basketball season. Name's Andy Isco.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's from what I understand, he's pretty well respected in the community for having, like, the best analytical, some of the best analytical approaches.
That's a proxy?
Yeah, and apparently football is, like, his weakest sport. Apparently he's, like, a monster when it comes to college basketball and baseball.
Oh, okay.
And anyway, so this year, his team that he identified as a potential steal for your future bet, before they kind of made that climb to potential one or two seed in the tournament, was Miami. And apparently he grabbed them at like 25 or 30 to 1.
No, 100 to 1.
100 to 1, okay.
Andy Isco got, yeah, that was big news on the pregame boards that Andy Isco got down on the Miami college basketball team.
And now look at it, and they're most likely going to be a two seed at the minimum. And yeah, so anyway, coming back to your point, I don't think there's much value in taking the Clippers, the Thunder, or the Spurs just because the Thunder and the Spurs, for sure, you're better off just parlaying your bets, which, you know, that takes some level of balls because you're essentially, you know, let's say the Spurs are minus 300 in the first round. You lay 3,000, you win 1,000. Now you parlay that, so you lay 4,000 on the next round. So it takes some balls to
theoretically, if you're going to throw $3,000 anyway. Yeah, or just do it as $300. You did $300, you win $100, then you take that $400 and then put it on the next series and then take that money instead of just putting a $300 bet on them at 5 to 1.
And you figure once they get to the conference finals, they're going to be even money, most likely, somewhere around even. So now we're talking about, you know, you're going to be around that, you know, 2x of where you started, so you're going to end up with, you know, you're going to end up essentially a 3-to-1 bet instead of plus 240. So what's the point of buying that now, investing your money, unless you have a situation where you can place the bet and the bet isn't, no cash changes hands until the bet goes final. But, yeah, I don't think there's any value. I certainly don't think there's value in the Lakers plus 800. I mean, if I was going to throw some, you know, pickles on the glass and hope for a prayer, Grizzlies at 18-1, Nuggets at 15-1. But, I mean, do we really think they have a shot?
Maybe the Grizzlies. No, I don't think so.
I think Denver...
I haven't watched Denver enough this
Denver
year.
Denver has a shot to one of those situations where you can potentially hedge, especially because they're probably going to win a first-round series. They have that awesome home court. That might be a situation where maybe you can get enough in the second round. You know, you can buy it back in the second round. I just don't think there's any value in anything. I think you're better off, you know, taking a flyer in the East. Because most likely, let's say you take Indianapolis. You take the Pacers, plus 750 right now. And they make it to the conference finals. You're going to be able to buy the Heat back for minus, what, 300?
Yeah.
You'd be able to hedge there, 350. They're not going to be minus 750, that's for sure.
No, yeah.
So
it really makes no sense.
Anyway, yeah, I don't know. But NBA is the NBA. I've been trying to stay away from it. It's just, it's too hard to predict effort with these professionals. Honestly, this is, I think this is a relatively boring. I don't think there will be a single upset in the NBA. I mean, I think the top four teams will advance. So we'll have the top four teams in both leagues for sure. The only team that could maybe screw that up is the Celtics.
Yeah, I don't. Well, I feel like the East is a little bit more tricky. So,
or the Rockets. Ooh, wait a second.
Yeah, I feel like the Rockets could win a series.
Well, let's while we're talking about the
James
Rockets.
Harden put his team on.
What are the Rockets to win the West?
The Rockets right now, I think they're 30-26.
35-1.
All right, now that's a fun prop bet. $100 on that, right?
Yeah, well, you know, it'd be a nice payday. Who are they potentially going to match up with in the first round? What are they, right around the sixth seed right now? Could they come in and beat the Clippers?
Well, who's the two seed right now? Are the Clippers the
two
seed?
All right, so right now Houston is the eight seed, so they play San Antonio.
They could beat San Antonio.
I don't know.
Pass James Harden?
I just have no faith in any of these teams. I mean, like I said, I think Denver will end up with the four seed and play Memphis or Golden. I think it's a three team race in the West, and I think it's a one team race in the East.
All right. Well, Ryan, since we're talking horse racing, you got any horse racing picks going on?
No, I don't think that all starts until, what's the first one, the Kentucky Derby?
Yes. That's not coming up for a little bit.
Well, so I told the story in one of the recaps after the Super Bowl about the horse that I had the inside info in, Flashback.
Yeah.
Anyway, Flashback is going to be a Derby horse. And while I was out there, I grabbed him at 8-1. And, so the Kentucky Derby is in May 3rd and 4th. So we got a little time before that. But,
all right.
And I think we got the Masters is, when did we say the Masters in what, April?
It's coming up.
So we got some events there. I think the biggest thing will be pretty much from next week on, I'm going to try to focus in a little bit on college basketball. I will say that the Las Vegas Hilton released their win totals for baseball about a week and a half ago. So that's something else. Probably in the next, maybe mid-March, I'll start sitting down. I think I'm going to prepare so that when we get out to Vegas, I can maybe bet some MLB futures. We'll see though.
All right, Ryan, let's get to the
serious sporting event of the weekend though, huh?
Yes.
All right, Sean. I know you're a big NASCAR fan.
Huge NASCAR fan. The Daytona 500 coming up. We got the, what's her name?
Danica Patrick. Who,
the GoDaddy girl herself, got pole position.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw the news story, but Donovan McNabb tweeted at her, congratulations on winning the Daytona 500. Just proves, I mean, I thought he was supposed to be a smart one. I don't really understand how, you know, by professional athletes, Donovan McNabb is seemingly like a smart guy, but he's definitely made a lot of bonehead moves in his day.
It's just one of those things. What are you trying to do?
I don't know. He's probably just trying to, I have no idea. He's probably just trying to flirt with Danica Patrick, who is obviously already taken. There is some drama going on the racing circuit, Ryan. She is dating another driver.
Yeah, some Kenseth, is it? Matt Kenseth? Ryan? I don't know. Who cares?
Exactly.
I just think that some of the headlines are funny.
Danica Patrick grabs pole.
Danica Patrick eases up, gets pole. Danica says she can win Daytona 500 from pole. Danica says being on the pole gives her a better shot to win. It's just, I don't know, we can go on forever, right?
It is pretty fun.
But I just think the best one is one of the local Florida newspapers. Apparently, I guess they do a back page similar to Newsday, and apparently the headline was just Danica gets pole exclamation point. It's just like, oh my goodness. So yeah, really Danica wins the pole. I believe I did about 30 seconds of research for this.
All right.
I believe the last time the pole position winner went on to win was Dale Jarrett in 2000, maybe 2001.
Okay.
I think the last time the poll setter finished in the top five was 2006 or something like that, so it doesn't really mean much. I also know, I did a little research, that they're using some new cars this year, and I guess the drivers haven't really figured out drafting. I guess the first test drive they did with these new cars, they all lined up to get do their draft like they normally do in the bump draft, when they get up real close and they push each other, and everyone wrecked. So apparently you just can't do that anymore, and it could be, if you're not a NASCAR fan but you're into watching races just to watch people crash, I would predict there's going to be a lot of crashes this weekend. And let's see, should we pick the winner?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's give out a Sports Gambling Podcast official Daytona 500 pick.
Ricky Stenhouse, I believe, is her girlfriend or her boyfriend. Danica Patrick, starting in the first row, 30-1. That's almost worth putting $10 on just because. I don't know, I feel like if there was ever a conspiracy in NASCAR, like, all the other drivers are like, it's weird, they're like, it's almost like they got a memo, like, be supportive, because they're all like, yeah, you know, she's got a great car, but yeah, she did well.
The one interview I heard, it was like, yeah, well, you know, I think she's getting a lot of attention, but we realize it's great for the sport.
Yeah, so I don't know. I did talk to a friend of mine who is a big race fan. He doesn't like NASCAR. He's into the Formula One shit. But he was telling me that with his new cars, he thinks the move, both for betting on the season and the first race, is to just take very experienced drivers. And
oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. Take your Tony Stewart's, your Jeff Gordon's, your Jimmy Johnson's of the world, the guys who have been around the block a couple times. So I say, if for nothing else, because it's hilarious how much the NASCAR community hates him.
Oh, Jeff Gordon.
I think we go with Jeff Gordon. I think this is a perfect opportunity. He's 12-1.
Oh, yeah.
He's about as experienced as you get in NASCAR right now. He's basically one of the old guys. And, I mean, normally I would just bet on Tony Stewart, because that's the only guy I know.
Smoke.
And his nickname's Smoke. But I say we roll with it. And it's a little risky to take a guy like Kyle Busch. I feel like he's going to wreck. So I say we take Jeff Gordon. What do you think?
Jeff, I like it. Antagonized. Maybe he's going to be our official. Maybe he's going to be the guy we look to sponsor for the Sports Gambling Podcast. Maybe we can even get a little bumper, you know, a little sticker on his car there.
Nice. I like the way you're thinking.
Yes. Oh, and speaking of Sports Gambling Podcast merch, I'm picking up the t-shirts on Monday. Oh. No more fucking around. So if you were fortunate enough to win one of our contests and you sent your email address into the contest at sportsgamblingpodcast.com, you will be getting your shirt in probably a couple weeks. And then for those of you guys not fortunate enough to win the contest, we'll have more contests coming up, and you'll be able to purchase the shirts on the website. So stay tuned for that. All right, Ryan, any more Daytona 500
action?
Well,
I feel like if we're picking the Daytona 500, we should also... We do almost every other sport, a little future action.
Yeah.
Who will win the 2013 NASCAR Sprint Cup Championship?
Okay.
Danica Patrick, 300-1.
All right. I'll throw $5 on that.
Again, it's you know, you got the regular characters up top. Jimmy Johnson, 4-1. Denny Hamlin, Casey Kane, Kyle Busch, 8-1. Matt Kenseth, 10-1. But for some reason, my man Tony Stewart, 12-1. This will be the third year in a row I bet on him to win the NASCAR. I've won one and I've lost one, so I'm gonna roll with it. I feel like he's one of the better drivers. He's experienced. We talked about how you want an experienced guy this year. Also, Jeff Gordon 10-1. If we want to stick with the Jeff Gordon,
I'm gonna go Jeff Gordon. I like that he is hated on by
real
the
side.
NASCAR
real
fans.
Side note about Jeff Gordon. I'm not sure if you've ever been, Sean, the Pocono Speedway.
Yes, I have.
All right. So growing up, about once a year, or maybe once every couple years, we would go out. Me and some friends, starting in high school, we'd go out to the Pocono Speedway, where it was heaven for us. They didn't care how old you were. It was BYOB. I think all of this has changed, probably. But you'd get in this line to go hang out in the infield, and literally it'd be hillbillies with these rigged-up wagons. Just, I'm talking 30 packs stacked up, six high, massive coolers. Like, people are going, like, you're there all day. Like, you get there 6 hours before the race. And you're hanging out all day. Well, anyway, first time we went, we were probably 16. And a guy wearing some camo, you know, probably in a mullet. Looks over at my friend who was wearing like a nicely fit polo shirt. It's like, hey, you a Jeff Gordon fan? And he's like, I don't know why. You look like one. So apparently calling someone a Jeff Gordon fan is synonymous with calling them a fag in the NASCAR circuits.
We got to do that. We should do a field trip.
Oh.
A little sports gambling podcast road trip to go check out there's a track in Riverside, right?
Fontana.
Fontana.
I think it's the closest one, right?
Yeah, I'm down to go check out a race. That'd be a good time, man.
It's one of those things where if you've never gone to a NASCAR race, you are not, you're 100% not going for the race.
Yeah.
It's literally like all the fun in a football tailgate, but it just happens through the whole race. And, and you know, all you got to do is you make friends with some people that got like a nice RV or something. And literally our move was we would just bring a cooler with liquor, beer, and meat. And we would make friends and find a grill to cook that meat on. And it was one of those things where I had really good times every time I went. And I honestly couldn't tell you who won any of the races. I feel like almost like a chick to saying that. I don't think I knew once who won the race.
Yeah, who cares, man? You're so liquored up and drunk and full by then. So,
yeah.
Good times. Yeah, we should definitely put that on the agenda.
Well, and we should probably touch on one more topic.
All right, I'd like to welcome on Rich Slayton, the play-by-play announcer for the University of MMA. Their next event is Sunday, March 3rd at the Club Nokia Center at LA Live. Rich is calling in to help us break down UFC 157. Rich, appreciate you coming on. So let's see. First up, we got Josh Koscheck against Robbie Lawler. Koscheck, a minus 420 favorite. Robbie Lawler, the plus 350 underdog. What's your take on this fight?
This is a tough one to call, especially for a betting man. You want to take Josh Koscheck, especially based on the wrestling. Robbie Lawler hasn't been at his best. You know, if this fight took place in 2006, 2007, it'd be a whole different story. Right now at minus 450, though, with Robbie Lawler's hands, Josh Koscheck could still be a dangerous prospect. Depends on whether you believe he's going to go back to his wrestling. So if Josh does put it on the mat, this is Josh Koscheck all the way. But if it stays on the feet, Robbie Lawler can put somebody to sleep.
All right, I like that. So how about the over-under for the number of rounds? The over-under is set at 2.5, over minus 150, under is plus 130. Do you see this one going the distance? It sounds like Koscheck is going to try and wrestle. The over is probably the way to go here.
Koscheck lately, again, you know, he's trying to keep his career moving forward. He's getting into the twilight years of his career. Remember, he started fighting back in 2004, and conventional wisdom is you have about 9 years to really be able to fight effectively. So I think he might keep this one safe. I would take the over in this fight.
All right, nice. Next up, we got Uriah Faber versus Ivan Menivar. Hopefully I got that right. Menivar is the underdog, plus 325. Uriah Faber, a minus 385 favorite.
It's pretty hard not to take Uriah Faber in any fight. You got to put it in context. You know, he's had a lot of losses the last few years, but those losses are to the 135-pound champion, the interim 135-pound champion, the 145-pound champion, the 145-pound champion. So if you want to put it in context, his losses really are against the best guys in lighter weights. Ivan Menivar is a fine fighter. The guy can really put it on you, but you really don't want to bet against Uriah Faber in any context unless he's going up against top five, top two competition, really.
All right. Now, how about how do you see this going down? Do you think it's going to go the distance, decision, or is there a chance we get a knockout early, armbar, tap out?
Well, if you look at these two, Uriah has 21 finishes in his career, and of Ivan Menivar's 25 wins, 19 of those come by finish. I really doubt we're going to see a full 15 minutes out of these two guys.
Oh, wow. Okay, so then maybe the under 2.5 rounds, you're getting it at plus 170. That sounds like an intriguing bet there.
I think it's a very solid bet to make.
All right, nice. I like it. So last of the guys' fights, or last of the bigger-name fights for the guys on UFC 157, Lyoto Machida versus Dan Henderson. Henderson, a plus 200 underdog. Machida, the favorite, at minus 240. Do you think Dan Henderson has what it takes to get an upset here?
Dustin definitely can get an upset anywhere. I mean, if you want to put the most recent one to mind, no one saw him knocking out Fedor Emelianenko a couple years ago. So Dan Henderson can always put that big right hand on you. The conventional wisdom right now is that Lyoto Machida, especially after the string that he had against Shogun Hua, Quentin Jackson, and John Jones, that Machida's made some big changes, and we're looking at a new version of one of the most dangerous and interesting fighters to deal with in the light heavyweight division. I think Lyoto's a pretty strong bet here. This is one that I would stay away from just because it's a fight. There's a reason why it's a fight, because you don't know what's going to happen next. And Lyoto's the good bet here, but Dan Henderson is, as some people call it, the H-bomb in his right hand. That thing can always go off.
And how about how long you see this going? Does this have the chance to go the distance, or you think it's going to be done early?
Any Machida fight has the chance to go the distance. I'm going to say that this one is not going to see a full three rounds. Where's the over-under at on this one?
Yeah, it's the same as the last one. It seems like they just set it at 2.5 rounds. Over 2.5 rounds is minus 200 favorite. Under 2.5 is a plus 170 underdog.
See, betting small on the under is valuable, and if you want to put a bigger bet, save your money. I'll tell you about that in a couple minutes.
All right. Well, the main event for UFC 157, the first time a female MMA event has been promoted as basically the main event for UFC. I think I'm right here, right? That this is the first time they've ever done it.
This is the first women's fight ever in the UFC. It's a big night.
Okay, so you got Ronda Rousey versus Liz Carmucci. Ronda Rousey is a huge favorite, minus 1,200, minus 1,000. Basically, you got to drop 1,000 to win 100. That's how much of a favorite Ronda is, and she's seems like she's on quite a tear. I think she's submitted everyone she's fought, and primarily she uses the armbar. Rich, what's your take on this fight?
I mean, this is Rowdy Ronda Rousey. If you look at both her pro and amateur career, that's 19 consecutive first round, or 19, not 9 consecutive first round armbar finishes. You go back into her judo career, Ronda Rousey's a judo Olympian. Her mother was the first women's world judo champion. Ronda Rousey, I think at the age of 19 maybe, was a bronze medalist in the Olympics for judo. She is an actual fighter. If you look her in the eyes, she's staring right past you. There's a reason why she's minus 1,200 in this fight. And that reason is a great reason why this is only an investor bet. If you have big pockets and you're looking for a sure investment, Ronda Rousey is a great place to go. But unless you have big pockets, don't make this your bet because, again, it's still a fight and they're still wearing small gloves and anyone can get caught. And Liz Carmouche is no joke. Liz Carmouche has 5 knockouts or TKOs. She can actually put her hands on you. I would say take Ronda Rousey in this one if you're going to put any money on it. But overall, I never like putting anything on someone who's more than a minus 600.
Yeah, good call. Yeah, I mean, the last UFC card, it seemed like a lot of the underdogs came through. And just in general, when I'm betting UFC, I like to usually just, you know, basically take an underdog or take nothing because it seems like at the end of the day, when you got two guys or two girls in this case, that whatever the betting line is skewed one way or the other, really it ends up coming closer to even just because, you know, like you said, anyone can get knocked out at any point. You can have your hands down at the wrong moment, get knocked out. So really it seems like there's a lot of value in taking these underdogs. But, you know, obviously if, you know, they're minus huge favorite for a reason. So, Rich, give me out of all the stuff going on UFC 157, what are your lead pipe locks? What are your best bets here, and what are some bets you want to avoid?
The number one bet that I really, really love this weekend, the one that no one's talking about, is LeVar Johnson over Brandon Schaub. I don't know where you're from, but Bodog has Brandon Schaub as a minus 140 and LeVar Johnson is a plus 110. Well, if you take a look at their two records, Brandon Schaub is 8-3, and his three losses all coming in his last, or two of them coming in his last three fights, and all three of those losses are knockouts to Roy Nelson, Ben Rothwell, and Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira. So you look at those three knockouts, and then let's go take a look at LeVar Johnson. LeVar Johnson has 17 wins, 15 of those are KOs. and his only five of his six losses are submission losses. Brandon Schaub is not going to submit LeVar Johnson, and LeVar Johnson is going to on Brandon Schaub's chin. So that, I think, is the best bet on this weekend.
All right, I appreciate that. And is there any bet out there or any pick that a lot of people are making that you just think is a stay away and not a good idea?
I think a lot of people are trying to get on this Uriah Faber-Ivan Menjivar fight. You know, Faber is a favorite, but his numbers for a favorite go to 375. People want to jump on that fight. Uriah Faber, I don't know what we're going to see from him again. You know, I said before that his losses have come against the top competition. He's usually the guy you want to take. But Uriah Faber also has been in this game for a very long time. He's no spring chicken. So that's not a fight that I want to put my money on.
All right, sounds good. Well, appreciate all your picks and analysis here. Make sure you check out Rich Slayton on Twitter, at MMA Comic.
MMA Comic.
Yep, and if you're in the Los Angeles area, make sure you check him out. He'll be doing play-by-play for the University of MMA Sunday, March 3rd at Club Nokia down at LA Live. For the Sports Gambling Podcast, I'm Sean Stacking the Money Green. He was Ryan Real Money Kramer, and special thanks to Rich Slayton. Let it ride.